Let's go to our Bibles today to Galatians chapter 5. We're in a study of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it has ended up being a four-part study on the work of the Holy Spirit. And the verses that we have looked at in this four-part study are Galatians 5, verses 22 through 26. And I want to read those verses. And today our primary verse will be verse 26. But let's read our text together so we can be thinking like the Lord would have us think on the subject matter, for these verses do indeed deal with the work of the Holy Spirit. You remember, please, that the Bible says that a person who does not possess the Holy Spirit does not belong to God. It's impossible to be a Christian, it's impossible to be saved and not have the Holy Spirit, but just because we have the Holy Spirit does not necessarily mean we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And one of the commands of Scripture is, be ye filled with the Spirit. So we not only want to have the Spirit, we want to be full of the Spirit. Can I have an amen there? Amen. So having said that, let's look at verse 22, if you would, please. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, folks, what I just read in those two verses is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You see that, don't you, in those two verses? That when the Holy Spirit shows up in a manifest way, when you're full of Him and He evidences Himself, that's what He looks like in you. So that's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at verse 24. And they that are Christ, in other words, those people that belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. In other words, they that belong to Christ have crucified, means put to death, the flesh, that's talking about the carnal affections, passions, and lust of the old man. So what you just saw in verse 24 is the mortification of the carnal passions. So we looked at the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now we look at the mortification of the carnal man. Then we look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, that is, we're God's children. This letter's written to God's people. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. It's talking about our behavior now. Let our behavior be in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let our behavior look like the Holy Spirit looks. There we call that the manner of the Christian's walk. And he's telling us here that if you're full of the Spirit, he ought to be seen in the way you behave yourself. Did you ever have your parents tell you, behave? I bet you did. I had mine tell me that on numerous occasions. And they wanted our behavior to be in keeping with what they had taught. And the writer here, the Holy Spirit, wants our behavior to be in keeping with the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Now let's go to verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, look at that verse good. Therein lies the motivation of the Christian service. Let me just repeat that for emphasis' sake. We've looked at the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at the mortification of the carnal man. We've looked at the manner of the Christian as to how he should walk. He wants us to look like the Holy Spirit's there when our behavior should indicate that. Now, if our behavior is like it ought to be, there ought to be some service there. So herein lies the motivation. What should motivate us to live for God, to serve God? Because if God has supreme place in our hearts and the Holy Spirit is one who is in control, then there ought to be some evidence of that we love Him and we serve Him. I remember hearing many years ago, I believe the preacher was Peter Lord, who illustrated something. I illustrated something last week in the message here about the fullness of the Spirit, and I understand Peter Lord illustrated something a little different one day in preaching on the Holy Spirit, he took water and poured in a glass and held the glass, and he called someone from the congregation up and said, this glass represents our life, and the water in it represents the Spirit. And he said to the person, said, take my arm, and said, shake it. And of course, that person very hesitant, won't spill anything. And he just barely moved it. And Peter, Lord, said, no, shake it. And he shook it a little more. He said, shake it. And when he shook it, water went everywhere. And people are looking, thinking, he's lost his mind. What is he doing? Because he had raised his sleeve. He took a paper towel and wiped himself off, put his sleeve down, buttoned it up. And the people are quiet, wondering, well, is he just getting dressed again? What's he doing? And for pause and effect's sake, he said, now, I've just done that to say to you that when you get shook up, what's in you comes out. Now, folks, you can absolutely go home, get you some kerosene or gasoline, and pour on your Bible and set fire to it. I don't recommend it, but you might as well if you think there's going to be any semblance of success void of the control of the Holy Spirit. You may say that another way that anybody can understand it? You don't possess what it takes to live a successful Christian life, and I don't either. Can't get to first base unless God the Holy Spirit lives inside of me and I'm not finished. Lives inside of me and I am willing to diminish myself so that Christ can take control of somebody who does not naturally want to live godly. My old man, which is not yet totally gone. The dominating power has been broken by the divine implantation of the Holy Spirit. But my old man still wants me to know on a regular basis he's there, and he also wants everybody else to know he's there. And before you know it, there seems at times in the lives of God's people to be more of the old man revealing itself than the new man. And the old man, when he expresses himself, there's anything taking place other than the fullness of the Spirit. When the fullness of the Spirit is there, you see Jesus. That's who he has come to bear witness of. So if the Holy Spirit is at work as he is to be in his fullness, the traits or characteristics of Jesus will be seen and not the characteristics of an old selfish Wayne Robertson. It's just that blunt, and it's just that, if you will please, embarrassing in my life and maybe in yours as well. So let us look. I'm going to kind of dissect that one verse, and today I'm going to look at the Christian service defined. I'm going to look at the Christian service described, and then I'm going to look at Christian service decided, and then we'll go home, okay? Let's look at it. Back at the verse 26. Let us not be. Now, don't let yourself become. That's what he means when he says, let us not be. Don't let yourself become desirous of vainglory. And interesting, that phrase, desirous of vainglory, is one word in the Greek New Testament. And it means to be conceited and seek glory for yourself. When you're conceited, you seek glory for yourself. And he said, now don't let yourself become that way. Now, when the Bible tells me as a child of God, speaking to the children of God, it might as well say in front of that verse, hey, Wayne, don't let yourself become one who seeks glory for yourself. And the Bible didn't tell me not to let myself become something unless it was possible that I can become that. Wayne, there is a possibility that you can get in the frame of mind that you will let yourself get conceited and want some glory along the way for yourself. Boy, years ago, 30 plus years ago, there was a great movement about dying to self, dying to self, dying to self, dying to self. Now, folks, that's not a bad concept. The Scripture teaches that. But when we die to self, we don't see much of self. Did you know, having worked at a funeral home, I can tell you that I have touched enough dead bodies that if you want to punch them, you're not going to get any response. Why? Because what's dead has no feeling. And we've been told in the spiritual man, die to yourself. Most of us are very much alive to self, but a little numb to the work of God. And that's why occasionally, in God's sweet providence, now hear my heart, God's sweet providence, He lets circumstances take place that kicks me in the seat of the pants in order to say, I didn't do any of that to hurt you because the last thing I want to do is hurt you. I did that to get your attention because I want to help you. You're not looking right now a whole lot like me, and I'm wanting there to be some correction in your life. I did that because I love you. So don't let yourself become that way. Now, provoking one another. Don't let yourself start provoking each other. Now, why did he say that? Because when I get full of myself conceited and I want glory for myself, I will provoke other people. And that provoking one another means don't get to the place that you're challenging and irritating and making other people angry. And also, don't get to the place that you're envying one another. And you know the word envy just simply means being jealous of one another. And typically, when you're full of yourself, you're never happy because pride is just like greed. You can't get enough of whatever it is you're looking for to fill it up. So you then become resentful of other people. You want what they want. If only my husband was like that lady's husband. If only my wife was like that man's wife. If only our children was like their children. If you had their kids, you'd probably commit suicide. And if you had that man's wife or that woman's husband, you'd probably take them back with a great big offering to say, here, take this off of me. The devil has tricked us, making us think, as I look across the fence, man, wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, it's not what it's perceived to be, and the devil is a master at that, to distort, to convolute, to take illusion and cause you to think they've got it all together. No, they don't have it all together. Well, the grass is green over there. Yeah, there's a septic tank over there. That's why. That's why it looks greener. And I read a story one time of neighbors, both farmers, and the yards where their hens were separated by a fence, and there's hens over here, and there's hens over here, and there's a rooster over here, and all of a sudden on this side, the boys out yonder playing ball let the football land over in this pen of chickens, and the rooster looked at it. You know how those roosters can do their heads this way? And looked over there, and he looked back at his hens and said, hey, girls, I hate to complain, but look what that bunch is putting out over there. You see, folks, that football is not an egg, and it's not what it appears to be. And I see all kind of people that look across the fence, and they just don't understand. It's not what it appears to be. I remember years ago meeting with a family, a husband and wife, and the troubles were many and great. Then later in the week, two or three days later, I met with a man, and he talked to me about some things that were just utterly spiritually ridiculous, and he, a child of God and a Sunday school teacher at his church, and he said, well, I know, and he called the name of that couple that I'd been with about 3 days earlier, and he said, they're in second or third marriages, and they get along great. And I know there might have been an expression on my face. I couldn't say a word. I couldn't say, if you'd only been in here 3 days ago, you wouldn't be using that for an example. See, folks, the devil is a liar, and he tricks people. So the motivation for our service can't be in here. The motivation for our service has got to be somewhere else. So let's look at Christian service defined. That's the first thing we want to look at, okay? If you want to, jot these down. First of all, Christian service is when the Christian, now I'm not trying to be so simple that I'm insulting, but let me say this. Christian service is when the Christian sincerely serves Christ. If it's Christian service, you have to be a Christian. You have to serve, and if it's Christian, that means follow of Christ, you have to sincerely, as a Christian, want to serve the Christ. Well, folks, if you want to serve the Christ, then it shouldn't matter to me, if God the Holy Spirit's in charge, whether I get the credit or Christ gets the credit. Folks, if we can really do a job for Jesus and not care anything other than Jesus be honored, we'll all be happy. But if we get to wanting honor for it, then we get our feelings hurt. And folks, churches are invariably known for that, and we heard our testimony even with the community at large because they learned that brother and brother so-and-so or sister and sister so-and-so couldn't get along. It's because somebody got two words of recognition and the other one didn't get it, and it just becomes pathetic. It's like the two kids at Christmas time, and one of them got one piece of candy more than the other one got, and it just causes a meltdown. Now, folks, that's fine with immature babies, but that's not fine for God's children. So Christian service is when the Christian sincerely serves Christ. Next thing, no person can serve two masters. Now, you're just not going to be able to serve Jesus and something else. Here's why Jesus said it. No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, and in that context, you can't serve God in materialism or God in money, and the truth of the principle is you can't serve God in anything. Something will become preeminent. Something will become first, and everything else will be secondary. And in the church, it's very easy to say, I love Jesus, I love God, you can count on me, until that thing I'm just not really willing to give up, I can't do that because that means too much to me. Well, folks, Jesus is not preeminent when that's the case. I was told on one occasion of some people in the church, not this church, and they're just some of the best workers we have. However, on Wednesday nights, don't count on them because that's bowling league. Well, folks, I like bowling. But folks, when I die, a bowling ball is not going to help me. And if God has given me His grace, if I'm a part of His body, if I have been gifted to serve His kingdom, then why can't I find another time to go bowling or just decide, you know, I love bowling. That's just a wonderful thing. I absolutely get a lot of joy out of bowling, but I'm not going to let bowling take preeminence over my service to God. Last but not least, concerning Christian service defined, only a new creation truly desires to die to self. Folks, if we die to self, one of our problems is not dying. Our problem is resurrection problem. We can be perfectly dead at 9 o'clock some morning, and by 11:30, there's been a resurrection, and we push to get our way. And so we got to be careful what Christian service is and what the framework is in which it's born. It is born out of sincerely desiring to serve the Christ, knowing I can't serve two masters, and I'm going to die to myself, and I can only do that because God is in the process of making me a new creation. What is that verse of Scripture? If a man be in Christ, he's what kind of creation? New creation. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what the text says. So that's Christian service defined. Now, the second thing this morning I want to look at is Christian service described. I have two basic things I want to say about that. Sincere Christian service must humble everything about self and exalt everything about Jesus. If it hurts me to be humbled, then how am I going to exalt Christ unless I'm humble? Wayne is to decrease, Christ is to increase, and if Wayne's going to increase, anybody care to guess where Christ is? If Wayne increases, Christ decreases. So I've got to be sure that and I love our country, I love our land, we are rift with problems, but folks, we still are a great nation, and I don't know of any place in the world I'd like to move from the United States and go live. I want to tell you this. In America, we strut that we have these individual freedoms and individual rights, and if the Constitution grants them, I am for them, but listen to me. The Constitution can grant you some rights that God's Constitution, the Bible, will not grant you. And that's why I must understand that I must humble everything about myself so that everything about Christ can be exalted. Not a more humble person ever lived than Jesus. And He is our example, and He is the one that shows us that when the Spirit, are you listening? When the Spirit totally controls someone, they look like Jesus. You say, but Brother Wayne, is there anybody that can live like Jesus lived? You can live like he lived in some aspects of your life, and you do. That's the whole point. None of us live exactly like Jesus, but you've got some areas in your life that are absolutely resigned and under the control of the Lordship of Christ. There's some things, if mentioned and offered to you, there ain't no way that's a settled issue. But there are other things that we grapple with and that we struggle with because there's still some of these affections that need to be put to death. So we have to humble self and exalt the Savior. Now here's the second thing I want to say about Christian service described. A nominal interest in serving God may be the clearest testimony to lostness. Now you know what I mean by nominal? I'm talking about name only or token, just a token. Listen to me. You say, well, Pastor, you don't leave much room to wiggle there. Listen, you are on a broad road leading to hell with no hope and nobody to help you. And out of grace and grace alone, God took you and me off of a broad road headed to hell and destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. Put us on a narrow road that leads to life everlasting, of which of the masses of humanity, few there be that find it. He put the song of redemption in our heart. His Holy Spirit has been implanted. We are sealed and will never be lost again. He's made us accepted of eternal matters through the one who is the Holy One, Jesus. He's given us a place of service in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, that will never, ever, ever, ever pass away. And you want me to believe, having done all that for us, that serving Him's not a big deal. Well, then you just confessed you don't have a clue what he did the day he ransomed you. Folks, I don't know how you could be thankful for what he's done to take you. Slipping your way down the slippery slope to a place of eternal separation from God. And God, of his own volition, of his initiation, he took the initiative to reach and take you off that road and put you on the narrow road. And then you tell me serving him just ain't no big deal. I'm telling you, then you don't understand what I'm talking about. And you never had happen in your soul what I know millions of others have had happen in their soul. Could it be that that's why our church houses, before we had a coronavirus, just wasn't running over? Could it be that that's why the liberals were telling us that the American church was in the process of dying before the coronavirus hit? Could it be that that's why some people in big places have decided in recent days that they just won't have church anymore of anything until next calendar year? It just ain't no big deal, y'all. God's just not that important, and his work in the community, his kingdom. Could it be that that's why leaders think that casinos can have up to whatever their building capacity is, they can have half of that capacity in a room? But if it's a church bigger than an airplane hangar, they can't have but 50 people in some of the states. You know why that's that way? Because church ain't no big deal. God is not that welcome. Tell you the truth, he gets in the way. And when his children begin to talk about some of the principles that's in their heart because God lives there, it is very much resented. And you people need to go somewhere and get to yourself and leave us alone, because your God is now cramping our style, and we're tired of you forcing your values over on us. Isn't it interesting that, and I'm going to say this and move on, isn't it interesting that we've had reports from the time the coronavirus started that some of it was spread in certain communities because of churches, which I think was true, which is not good. But we've got in one of the other states where a governor sent people sick with the coronavirus into nursing homes, and it's cost lives, but that's never talked about It's just that these churches is what will cause you problems. Folks, can I tell you what will cause us all the biggest problem? Leaving God out of our lives and electing people to office who have no concept of our founding fathers' principles based on Old and New Testament. That's worse than a coronavirus. And I'm very sorry we have it in this nation and around the world, and I pray for health and healing and cure every day. But folks, we've got another virus in this land that is far more serious than the coronavirus, and we need to get to praying that God will do something with that. And if he does, he'll do it one heart at a time. So I just repeat this and move on. A nominal interest in serving God may be the clearest testimony to lostness you'll ever see. The last thing I want to look at is Christian service decided. Now, he said, now let's don't be desirous of personal praise here. And let's don't make each other mad. No, let's don't be jealous of one another. So if we're going to let Christian service be decided, here's what we've got to decide. First thing, decide what is of greatest importance to you, serving self or serving Jesus. Because we've already determined you're not going to be able to serve two masters. Jesus made it plain. But I've got to decide what's greatest importance. Now, here's the way Jesus said that. You'll see it on your screen. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him, number one, deny himself, number two, and take up his cross, and then number three, follow me. So if we're going to serve him, we're not going to serve him without following him. We're not going to follow him without taking up a cross, and we will not take up our crosses until we first deny ourselves, which is what the Christ life is about. The lost life is about the self life. The saved life is about the Christ life. So decide what's of greatest importance. Next thing I'd say, eliminate pursuing pride and self-glory. You see, pursuing pride and self-glory are the traits of lost people, so we don't want to pursue those things. Why would I want to tell you I'm a Christian, but pursue that which is like lost people? The next thing, do not irritate and anger one another. Don't just see if... Don't be a rabble-rouser and just see who you can irritate. Can I just say this as a blanket statement? I'm not necessarily talking to you unless you say, well, I'm guilty of that. Well, then I'm talking to you. We make far too serious statements during times of crisis and health challenge. And folks, this is a very serious time in the life of this nation. And the best we can do is criticize people who wear masks or criticize people that don't wear masks. Now, folks, if you think there's a problem, put you on one. I wear one all the time. But quit criticizing. Why? Because you're irritating people. And the truth of it is, we've learned that many times in the medical community, they don't know any more than we do because they've told us everything on the spectrum. Wear the mask and don't wear the mask. Do this, but don't do that. Do this, but don't do that. You can get it here. You can't get it there. It's a confused thing, but if we aren't careful, we just choose up a side and we start saying stuff and not thinking about, you don't get the privilege of that. Do what you think is right for you and be quiet. I'm grateful we have freedom of speech, and I'm grateful we have freedom to have peaceful protest. But I see things, you know, in the community, and I'm just going to make this as a passing statement, trying not to be critical of what anybody else does, but just making this statement. I see these people demonstrating and picketing and boycotting when school's going to start. Can I make a confession to you? Don't let this shock you. I don't have a clue what's best. I hear the talking heads say that they don't have a case in the world that says the kids are suffering where they've gone back to school. I don't know if that's true or not, but I don't hear nobody saying, we've got an example where it really has been bad. But I tell you what I do see that I don't think serves the community well. We got some teachers that go around picketing in the name of getting... Folks, let me tell you something. I can't work for you, I don't care what it is, and picket the very people that signed my paycheck. I can't do that. You say, well, Pastor, you just don't think we ought to offer our opinion? Put it in a letter and mail it and act like somebody and quit trying to stir up. That's what's wrong right now. We've got a overdose of me-ism, and it's going to be my way and my opinion, and if it don't, I'm going to get all the stink going I can go. Now, folks, if lost people are doing this, I need to be quiet myself. But if saved people are doing that, that's not good. We've got to be very careful. Is it wrong to disagree? Never, 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 never is it wrong to disagree. But folks, I don't have to be so disagreeable that I upset other people in my disagreement. Why? Because the work of the Spirit says, first of all, when He's manifested, listen, I will have love and express it. I will have joy and express it. I will have peace and I will express it. Now, so we got love, joy, and peace. I will be long-suffering and I will express it. I will be gentle and I will express it. I will be good and I will express it. So long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Faith, I will express faith. But when I take things into my own hands, I must not be expressing faith. Meekness, I'll bring myself under control by the work of the Spirit because I can't control myself. And temperance is keeping it under control. Folks, how God's people act in terms of the fullness of the Spirit is not just at church on Sunday. It's about who we are wherever we go. You agree with that? You know, years ago we was told by a sitting president that what a man is in his private life has no bearing on being president. Let me tell you what. Who you are in your private life is all you are to start with. Don't matter if you're president, preacher, plumber, or a painter. Who you are in your private life is who you are. And if the Holy Spirit can't get a hold of me Monday through Friday, I'm playing a mockery up here on Sunday with you, and vice versa. So just don't irritate and anger one another. Now, don't become jealous of one another. Don't be envious. And the last thing I would say, and I'll close with this verse. It'll be on your screen, Hebrews 10. Consider one another. But folks, that would have been good if it's just a period there. And let us consider one another. To consider means let's bestow some thought. Let's give attention to. Let's think about one another. And let's do this. Here's this word, provoke, a different word than the other provoke. But this provoke means to incite and stir up and arouse people unto two things. To love each other. And to do good works. Now that's what the work of the Spirit. If you want the work of the Spirit, don't be provoking one another in terms of irritating and making each other angry. But provoke one another. Stir up each other the gift of God so that they will love one another more. And do some good works. Folks, you can't stir up people to love and good works making comments like this. Well, what in the world is Sue Norris doing sitting over there with that mask on? Is she crazy? What about you other idiots out there that don't have on masks? Are y'all crazy? Now, folks, did that edify anybody? Y'all know I didn't mean what I just said calling y'all names, but people are talking like that, and I hope you have not been guilty of that, and if you have, I hope you'll apologize if you did. Folks, unless your behavior, now if you come up and spit in my face, you got the coronavirus, I probably don't have a right to complain about that. But you're not affecting me one way or the other with what you do, and I don't need to criticize you, and we don't need to criticize one another. And you, I bet some of you think, well, man, did somebody say something to Brother Wayne? Did somebody say something to Brother Wayne? What do you think I've been reading since the month of early March? This is what the world has been made of, but God's people's world is to be made up of a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, of a mortification of the flesh, and of a way of serving God like we looked at today, the manner in which we serve God. He's worthy of service. And folks, when the mask have all passed and the coronavirus is no longer here and Donald Trump is no longer president, as that day someday will come, and somebody else is at the helm of stuff, if you're not careful, you can look back on some previous days and say, you know, we didn't know it, but we really had it good back then. I remember my dear friend that I love as much as anybody on earth that's breathing today, named Clifford Palmer. He said to me after he had resigned from First Baptist Springdale, Arkansas, and we talked about some of the days that they were in together, that we went there for revival several times, and we knew about that church, and those were some glory days that God was so thick there you could almost cut the Spirit of God with a knife. And Clifford said to me on an occasion, he said, Wayne, you know, Robert Wagner, that was his music director, he said, we look back on that now years later, and we think, you know what? We was in a spirit of revival every Sunday and didn't know it. And God took that statement and drove in my heart more than 20 years ago, probably in 1987, probably been 30 years ago, and I've never forgotten that. And here's what God said to me, Wayne, don't get 3 months, 3 years, 30 years down the road and look back and say, you know, God was really blessing. And I was being honored by God with His presence and power in my life, and I didn't even know it. Folks, sometimes the well is completely dry before you thank God for the water. So today, do I want some things to change? Absolutely. Am I praying vigorously about the health of this nation physically and spiritually? Absolutely. But I'm also praying about the health of a pastor I know who could get just as carnal as everybody else, and I don't want to do that. And I'm praying for a congregation, and I'm praying for my sister churches, because let me tell you something, folks, until the trump of God sounds, we all have a future. And any future with God's directive is better than any other future. And I want to be in a position to be blessed of Him and used of Him, and hopefully along the way, stir you up to some love and good works and not stir you up to be angry and frustrated. Amen. You want to join me in that? Let's bow and pray together. I'm going to ask you as I pray just to stand. Would you do that? As my preacher friends say, stand where you are, as though you might could stand where you aren't. Let's stand together. As we close our eyes in this moment of commitment, would there be anybody in the house that needs Jesus and it would be within you to want to pray to the Lord and say, Dear God, I need Your saving grace. I see the condition of my heart. I repent of my sin and I invite You into my life to forgive my sin, to make me clean, to live inside of me, and to empower me to walk with You and live for You for the rest of my days. And Father, I know that if anybody prays to receive You and desires true repentance of their sin, You will grant authentic forgiveness and You will transform their life starting right now. And then, Lord, maybe the rest of us, like the pastor, wants a fresh infilling of Your Spirit, wants to be emptied of self, for there is still too much of Wayne here and not enough of Jesus. So may in this moment You have spoken my heart in a way that Wayne will decrease so Jesus will increase. And then, Lord, could it be that maybe today You will take the work of Your Spirit in our hearts and we'll be able to serve You in a way that will truly incite and stir up and motivate people to love each other more and to good works. We are thankful, Lord, that in the darkest hour, not only is dawn in sight, but in the darkest hour, we have the opportunity to shine forth the glorious light of an abundant life that cannot even be imagined except in a relationship with Jesus. And as we come as Your children, we ask You to refine that relationship right now. We, Lord, would pray the prayer of what children are taught in the children's song. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Dear God, give us oil in our lamps. Keep us burning, burning, burning until we come to that one grand and glorious day when you call us into your presence. Sanctify these moments and have your will in each heart. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.